welcome to Thriving as a Physician, the podcast that teaches you to thrive in your weight loss and life while juggling a packed physician schedule, because you deserve to thrive. Each week, I share sustainable, enjoyable tools that work in your busy life so that you can reach all of your goals faster with more confidence. Everything in this podcast is backed by my experience as an obesity medicine physician, years of coaching physicians on weight loss and eating, and my own personal weight loss journey. Let's get thriving. This podcast contains general educational information on weight loss for physicians. I am not providing medical advice, and listening to this podcast does not create a physician-patient relationship. This podcast does not replace the need for consultation with a licensed professional, and no information should be relied upon unless you have obtained specific advice or treatment from myself or another physician. Please review the terms and conditions located at www.weightsolutionsforphysicians.ca before continuing. Hello and welcome to episode 285 of the Thriving as a Physician podcast, How to Lose Weight and Love Your Life. I'm your host, Siobhan Key, and I'm super excited you're here. If you are a physician who struggles with eating and food, you are in the right spot. Today, we are talking about the five reasons why we struggle with eating as physicians. And I know it's so common to feel like because you're a physician, you shouldn't struggle with eating. You know what healthy food is. You know how to take care of health. So therefore, these things should just fall into place in your life and you should have no issues with it. The reality is many of us do have issues with it, and it's a huge struggle for a lot of you. And today we're going to look at why is that? What are the reasons? And guess what? Sneak peek, not that you just can't resist certain foods. That's not the reason why you struggle with this. And second sneak peek, not because you just missed some class or you need to go to a new conference. Those aren't the reasons why we as physicians struggle with food. And until we identify and really address the real reasons why we're struggling with our eating, meaning making it less about food and more about the underlying things our brain is trying to fix with the food, you are not going to feel more comfortable around food. We have to start really focusing on the reasons why we eat, not on the eating itself. And that's why I wanted to do this episode for you guys. Now, if you've been listening to the podcast, you know that struggling with eating is something that was a huge deal for me. And I've got to tell you, I thought I was the only one. I thought I was the only physician out there who could not stop eating crappy food. And I beat myself up about it so much. And this went on for a lot of years. And I think really, or felt like I was spinning more and more out of control while thinking this shouldn't be happening to me. This should not be something I'm struggling with. I need to snap out of it. I need to fix it. I know what I need to do. I just need to force myself to do it, right? Those are super common things. If you've said those things to yourself, me too. And guess what? That's the part of my story where it didn't work. I kept spinning out of control because those aren't the answers. The only way I was able to get control over my eating and ultimately lose 55 pounds and have been maintaining it and managing it for a lot of years now was by stopping focusing on the food and really getting curious about why was it? Yes, I had this knowledge. Yes, I'm a smart person. Yes, I care about my health. So why was it that I was still making those decisions to eat food that I knew was hurting my health? Back then, I knew, like, I could see type 2 diabetes coming at me fairly quickly, and yet I still could not stop eating the food. And again, if that's you, I just want to, like, with so much empathy, I want to point out that that's not just a knowledge gap. If you know there's a health issue that you really don't want in your life, and you still can't stop making the food decision, there is something bigger driving that food decision. And until we understand what it is and address it in a way that actually feels really good to you and fits into your life, you're probably not going to have success making change to that eating. And so it took me a lot of years to finally get control, a lot of coaching, not specifically weight coaching, but just starting to actually really honestly get control over my life. And as I got control over my life, I started to have more control over my eating. And then as I really worked on it, then I started to be able to coach myself through this and use the tools that I now teach in order to change these eating habits. Took me a long time because I was doing it on my own. That's the reality of doing it on your own, right? Is you're creating everything from scratch. And that's why I ultimately, once I got through that journey and I was on the other side, I remember I'd done obesity medicine in an effort to try to fix my own eating. It wasn't really the answer I wanted. Super important thing. And definitely I'm really happy I did it, but didn't answer why I was heading to those, to the drive-through when I knew it was hurting my own health. And so when I ultimately got through to the other side, that's why I decided I need to help other physicians. And that's why I'm so passionate about helping you so that you don't actually have to struggle with this on your own. Why I spend my time recording these podcasts and doing free sessions for you and running Thrive Academy for Physicians for you if you really want that in-depth help so that you don't have to do it on your own, because I know how hard that journey is. And the reality is we don't have to reinvent the wheel, right? I've done it. I couldn't find somebody who understood what the physician life was like when I was trying to do it on my own, but you found it. You're listening to this podcast. You've got somebody who understands your life as a physician and also understands really positive ways to change your eating. So today we're going to talk about like the reasons why, because like I said, once we know why, we can start addressing those issues and that then can create change to your eating. Just staying focused on your eating and being like, stop eating it. I need to not eat that is not going to be effective or very unlikely to be effective long-term for you, especially when there's things like this driving the eating. If it was really as simple as just not eating it because, oh, hey, that's unhealthy, we would have done that, right? The reason why we haven't done that is because there's deeper things driving the need to eat the food that go beyond health, that feel more urgent and important to you than your long-term health in that moment. So why? Why, as highly intellectual and high-achieving individuals, why do we make food choices that we know will harm our health or we know keeps us from our goals? And again, I ask that question with a lot of empathy. It's not a blaming situation. It makes sense. As you listen to these, you'll understand it makes sense that we struggle with this as physicians. And chances are, if you don't struggle with this, there's something else that you struggle with. Or those physicians that you look around and you're like, they're just as busy as me and they don't seem to overeat. Either they may be doing it in secret, because I've coached lots of physicians who have binge eating, who don't look like they need to lose weight, but when they're alone, they have binge eating. So those people that we're comparing ourselves to very well may really struggle with eating too. You never know because nobody talks about it, right? Or they may struggle with something else. There might be something else in their life that they don't feel they have control over. And so just a note of caution, because it is so easy to look around and compare yourself to all the physicians around you and assume that you're different. I did that too. Now I know better. Now I know, actually, yes, this is my way of coping, my kind of maladaptive behavior, if we want to put a label like that on it. But I don't, now that I've said that out loud, I don't actually like that label. But other people have their own, and we can never know what other people are doing. Plus, comparing ourselves to somebody else only serves to make us feel crappy about ourselves, because whatever we're saying to ourselves about our assumptions of that other person's life is designed basically to make us feel like we're falling short. And so it doesn't help you move forward. It may not even be true. So it's not worth doing. I think if you want to create real change in these areas of your life, focusing on just staying in your own lane and really focusing on your own journey, no matter what it looks like, no matter how long it takes or what turns it takes, all of it is normal. All of it is part of the journey. And you'll be a lot better off than if you're trying to compare your journey to other people's journey around you. So why is it that we as physicians struggle with eating? Because like we talked about, we've had all the classes on health. We've care for patients and monitor their metabolic health, try to prevent long-term diseases and conditions as much as we can, or treat them when they do show up. And often part of our conversation is around healthy living, eat well, get physical activity. And yet when it comes to our own life, that can feel so hard to do. And as I mentioned, it is common that it is hard to do. The issue is nobody talks about it, right? Because there's this thought that we shouldn't struggle with it. So nobody talks about the fact that it's hard to eat healthy when you're a physician, and that many physicians feel really out of control with eating. And many physicians have stress eating, emotional eating, binge eating. And if you do, you're not alone. But why? Why is it so hard? Why is the health knowledge not the answer? And as I said, like even obesity medicine training and doing my board's exam for obesity medicine was not the answer to change my own eating. Gave me education, gave me more things to blame myself for because I understood more about the metabolic stuff, but it didn't actually change the behavior, right? So one of the reasons, and this is big, when I was making this episode, I was thinking, what are the biggest themes that I see as driving eating? This is the biggest one, is that we have been taught to put our needs below everyone else's. And that's really a core piece of being taught to be a doctor, is you're taught the medical information, but you're also taught when people need you, you respond. If you're the one on call, you work no matter what your own needs are. If there's people who are sick, a lot of consults to see, you keep going and you keep getting it done because that needs to happen more than your needs need to be met. And when we spend our life like this, it ends up where we spend our life without our core personal needs being met. And while also telling ourselves we probably don't have time to meet those needs, it's too busy, we've got to do something else. And ultimately, our brains don't like not having our own needs met. It makes us feel bad. And when you're feeling bad, your brain will try to fix it for you. It will try to offer a solution. Now, if we're thinking we're in a situation where there's not a lot of time, we're super busy, we're rushed, it's going to look for something simple, something fast, something that's readily available. And guess what? Food is all of those things. It fits that description perfectly. And when we think about whenever your eating issues started, mine really, like I've struggled with them through my life for sure, but really med school, third year med school, it became more challenging. And I think it was this combination of my own basic needs of like sleep, eating, going to the washroom weren't really met, plus unhealthy food was readily available, right? Like hospital cafeterias and the stuff near hospitals often is not particularly healthy. And so my brain started to connect those things. When we're tired, food helps. If you've had a tough day, food helps, and then you can go sleep. But the core of it is the being taught that our needs go below everybody else's. And it's true when we're working that there is an element that we need to follow that still, right? If you're the one on call, yes, you need to respond to emergencies, even if you have a personal need of like, I'm getting a little hungry, but there's somebody who's super sick. You have to go see the super sick person. That's part of our job. But the issue is that we never learn to turn it off. We don't learn to do that in some areas of our life, but not others. And so what's really common is we end up just spending our life like that, feeling guilty if we carve out any time to ourselves, not creating any space for ourselves. And so then we keep eating because our brain keeps being like, well, we feel uncomfortable. I feel really bad. I feel exhausted and I still have all this stuff to do. We'll just have a little bit to feel better. So one of the biggest things that I think my role as a coach is really actually helping physicians start to prioritize their own needs so that they have space to address their own needs. And don't worry, don't panic. You can still do all the work you need to do. It doesn't mean you have to change everything, but it's just creating a little bit of a shift in how you think about your days so that your needs are actually met. Because when you can meet your own needs, then you can do it in a more efficient way, more effective way than what your brain's trying to do with the food. Because let's be honest, the food helps momentarily while you're chewing it, when you get that initial hit of dopamine from the food. And then by the time the food's gone, like you've swallowed it, the benefit may be gone. I remember like back in the Wendy's French fry days, like sitting there eating the food in the drive-thru, finishing it and immediately feeling like that same sort of, almost think of it like a pit now, like this emptiness, this hollowness, just being right back and like, I should have more and having to really work on that. Because the reality is the food helped momentarily, but it didn't address the real reason. And that's why that urge, like, okay, that helped a little bit, but I need more. It wasn't enough, would come. Number two, second reason why physicians struggle with their eating is emotional suppression. Again, something we were taught in medical school and medical training, and an important part of our job is that we need to be able to keep a rein on our emotions. We work in highly emotional situations. We have to transition from highly emotional conversations or situations to less emotional ones. And we have to be present in all of those different patient encounters, no matter what's going on. There's often very little time for us to process what's happened. Like if you break bad news in one room, you may not actually stop to process the fact that telling somebody that they are not going to survive this illness and that they need to start thinking about end of life stuff, that's a really tough conversation to have with another human being. And you may have emotions about it, especially if it's a patient you know, but we often don't actually stop to experience them or process them. We have to just then go to the next room. And so we shove that down, don't notice it, and move on. And like I said, this is a skill we were taught. It's necessary in some situations. But again, when that skill that's necessary in some situations of our job just becomes the skill that we carry through our whole life, what happens is you end up not actually being able to tell what your emotions are unless they're big and they overwhelm you. And I see this lots when I'm working with physicians is if we're talking about emotions, lots of physicians are like, I don't know what I'm feeling. I can't tell. And it's because we've been taught to suppress it and we're so good at suppressing it that we lose the skill of actually interpreting our own emotions or noticing our own emotions. And when we're not noticing them, we end up building up like this background stress as you go through your day. And again, at some point, your brain's like, well, you know what? This feels really tough. I'm going to fix it. And, you know, maybe you're trying to fix stress. Maybe you're trying to fix exhaustion. Maybe you're trying to fix just feeling really restless after the end of the day. Maybe you're trying to fix the discomfort of knowing you have to still see more patients and you're already tired and you still have notes to do. And your brain's like, let's fix it. And again, we're going to look for something that's simple, something quick, something that's readily available, something that feels good. And food fits all of those. So of course, we end up reaching for food. And so again, it's not that we have to feel every single emotion that we have, but I do think if we do not feel any emotions, and the only way we deal with emotions is by reaching for food as like a reflex, it's going to be really hard to eat healthy consistently and actually reach your goals because we deal with so much stress in our days, in our weeks. And there's a lot of tough stuff that we do as a physician that does create emotion. We may not notice it. It may not feel like it's creating emotion, but it creates them. And giving yourself some sort of space to process that emotion and deal with it in a way that's more effective than the food is something that you need to do in order to be able to manage your eating long term, to change your relationship with food. The third reason why physicians struggle with eating and struggle around food is perfectionist standards. So we hold ourselves to such high standards, and this can influence your eating in a couple of different ways. Number one is holding yourself to very high standards in your life outside of your eating can influence your eating because when you beat yourself up because you haven't done enough, you didn't achieve enough, you didn't do something completely correctly, all of those different things, again, it makes you feel worse. It makes you feel bad about yourself. It makes you feel defeated. And when you're feeling that way, what are you going to do around food? It's a good chance you're going to reach for food to try to feel better. Again, no shame in that. Your brain's trying to help you. It just might not be the most effective thing to help you feel better. The second part of the perfectionist standards is perfectionist standards when it relates to your eating and weight. And so the way that happens and plays out is that you are an all or nothing kind of person. You're like, I'm all in, I'm eating perfectly, completely clean. And then the minute you choose something that you think you quote unquote shouldn't be eating, you're like, well, it's all out the window and it's blown. And I can't do it. And I always do this. And so you're like on or off and you do these huge swings. And the huge swings aren't because there's something wrong with you. It's because of these perfectionist standards that your view is the only way to be successful is to be completely careful, completely perfect with how you eat. And so both of those, both sides of that can really influence your eating and make yourself feel really bad about yourself, which isn't fair. It's not worth it. Number four would be no time for what we want to do. And this kind of ties into number one, putting our needs below all others. But When we live our life where every single little block of time is scheduled and none of it is stuff that we actually chose to do or want to do, again, as human beings, not physicians, as humans, that doesn't feel great. As humans, we want to have some agency. We want to do things just because it interests us or just because it feels good. And if we're not providing that for ourselves, then again, your brain's probably going to provide it for you in some other form. And so really looking at it, and I understand we are all busy. The really fun thing with time is it's way more flexible than what you think, and we can change and create some time to do things you actually want. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you give up other things that are important to you. It can. Saying no, I think, is a fantastic skill for all of us to work on, and being like, sorry, no, I can't do that, in order to create space for us to do something we actually want, I'm all for it. But you don't necessarily have to do that in order to create some space. It takes a little bit of like understanding how time works in your day and being curious and creative, but you can do it. And it's worthwhile. This is your one life. There are no do-overs. You can work hard with no time to yourself until retirement, but do you know you'll actually make it to retirement? Healthy, able to do the things that you want? No. None of us know that. There are no guarantees. And if you live your life this way, the way we've been taught of not making time for yourself, sacrificing yourself to everybody else around you, are you really going to change just because you retire? Maybe, maybe not. I think most of us have seen older physicians retire, but not actually retire, right? Where they just keep working because that's the only thing you know. So learning these skills and working on actually letting yourself as a human being enjoy the life you're living. You can enjoy work, yes, but also you deserve to enjoy things outside of work and do things solely because you have an interest in them. We can build that skill, which means that you enjoy your years more, you enjoy your life more. Plus, it has a positive impact on your eating. Because again, if there's no space for yourself, you feel like basically your voice doesn't have an entry point into your day, then of course you're going to turn to food. It makes total sense. Number five, the health shaming because we are a doctor and quote unquote should know better. This is huge, guys. Can we just agree to stop doing this to ourselves? The amount of health shaming that I see in physicians where we tell ourselves we shouldn't be eating that, because I'm a doctor, I know that that's not healthy. Of course you do, but you're eating it for a reason that has nothing to do with what you know about that food. In that moment, you're eating it because your brain knows that food's going to momentarily make you feel better. That's why you're eating it. And so there is no shame. It's not like you are flunking out of this. It's we have to change how we're approaching it. The other piece where I see the health shaming come in is developing long-term medical conditions as a physician. There's this belief and this kind of internalized expectation that we don't actually get sick. And that if we do, it's our fault. We should have done something different to prevent it. And that we should never let our illness slow us down or prevent us from keeping up with all of our commitments and our level of work. We are tough on ourselves around our own health. Really, really tough. And it doesn't help anything. It doesn't make you feel better. It doesn't help your health. If anything, it makes you do things that don't support your health in any way, like eating or like pushing yourself when maybe due to health issues, you need a break. You need to be kinder to yourself. You need to rest. So the shaming ourselves because we have this knowledge and yet we are also still human is completely unfair. And yet it drives a huge amount of eating. And I'm with you from the story I told you at the beginning. You could hear it in that. I shamed myself left, right, and center about my eating, about the fact I might get diabetes and how embarrassing that would be. And how could I even go talk to my family doctor about it and even go getting tested? Because then it would be written in black and white on my lab recs and it's all my fault. And I never should have developed that. Man, I did a lot of it. So if that's where you are, you're not alone. It's common, but man, it sucks. It's not fair. You deserve to cut yourself some slack here. Shaming yourself, telling yourself that you should be doing something different solely because of your medical education, not fair, not true, not helpful. We have to approach it differently. So these are really big drivers of eating. And the important piece to notice about this is they are ingrained into us. these aren't conscious things of like, oh yeah, I'll just ignore my own needs and take care of all these people. It's the reaction. It's like, oh yeah, people need me. Okay. My stuff goes to the side. They are ingrained into us and they make sticking to healthy eating really, really difficult. They disrupt your eating plans, but at a level where you don't notice that these are the things that are disrupting it. And the result is you can end up feeling similar to how I did, that there's something wrong with you and food. And plus, we add in how hard it is to stay focused on your goals or your own health. And it can feel like you are always starting, but never actually seeing change, never making any lasting change to have positive impacts on your health. And that's a really, really frustrating place to be, to feel like you're spinning your wheels. You're always starting, always trying, always putting work in, and it never seems to create the change that you want to see in your life or your eating. And you know what? I know what that's like, and it's why I created Thrive Academy for Physicians. It's why I do this work, because I'm very, very passionate that I don't want you to have to do this alone. If you're tired and frustrated of working hard on this and not seeing the results that you want, I'm here for you. I'm here to help. And having my support beside you means you get to make lasting change and move towards your goals while working less hard. It's like you're outsourcing all the thinking and the figuring out to me, which is my job as a coach. That's why I'm here and why you join a program like this, is so that you don't have to figure all this stuff out. You get to bring it to me. You get to get expert support. You get to get help designing something that actually will work in your life that feels really good, where you're like, oh yeah, I could do that. And the best part is my role as your coach is to teach you how to do all of this with less effort than you're putting in now, because that's when it becomes sustainable. When it's happening on the back burner, in the back of your mind, these things are just happening, so that when you have those busy weeks, they can continue to happen. That's what I love to do with physicians, is teach you how to do that. And that's why it's so sustainable, because you do Thrive Academy for Physicians for 6 months and you learn how to do that in your own life, so that managing your eating, managing your weight long-term becomes something that you don't always have to be exerting energy on. It can be something that's kind of going at the back of your mind and you're creating change with, but you're not working on all the time. And if that sounds good, if you're like, yeah, I'm ready to create lasting change. I don't want to always be on these diet yo-yos. I want to feel better about myself in my own body and feel good about how I'm caring for my health, then I'm here for you. Thrive Academy for Physicians is here for you. And it's simple. All you do is head over to starttothrive.ca and you can learn more about the program there. But the important piece is click on the button that says apply, fill out the short application form. Then you and I will schedule a time to talk directly. You get to talk to me before you join to make sure that it's a really good fit. And I promise you, I will tell you if I don't think I can help you reach your goals. And then the third part is you join and we get going together and we start going after those goals that right now you might not even believe are possible. You start creating amazing things in your life. You create freedom around food, so food doesn't bother you anymore. You reach any weight loss goals that you have. Plus, you have more fun in your days. You feel happier. Super important stuff that you really deserve. So head over to starttothrive.ca to fill out that application form so that we can get going. All right. Have a fantastic week, guys. We will talk to you later. Bye-bye.